Chapter 33. After a half hour spent pacing, it is decided that we shall dispatch a note to the one person who may be of help to us, Miss Moore. I wait impatiently for the messenger's return, and just before I am to leave for the dance at Bethlehem, her reply arrives.
Dear Gemma, I too am troubled by these coincidences. Perhaps there is an explanation for it all, but for the present, I advise you to be on your guard. If she should show herself at Bethlehem Royal, do what you must to keep her from your Nell Hawkins. Your friend, Hester Asa Moore.
Father has not come home for supper as he promised. There is no word, and he has Kartik and the carriage, so Tom and I are forced to hire a cab to take us to Bethlehem. The hospital has been decorated nicely with holly and ivy, and the patients are dressed in their best, full of merriment and mischief. I've brought flowers for Nell. One of the nurses takes me to the women's ward so that I might give them to her.
What a beautiful corsage, the nurse says.
Thank you, I murmur.
Lucky day for our Miss Hawkins. That's twice she's gotten flowers.
What do you mean?
She had a visitor today who brought her some nice roses.
A patient waltzes past with an imaginary partner. A visitor? What was her name? I ask. The nurse purses her lips in thought.
I can't remember, I'm afraid. It's been such a day. Mr. Snow's been in a very agitated state of mind. Dr. Smith told him if he didn't settle himself, he'd lose his privileges for the dance. Here we are,
she says, as we arrive at a small sitting room. Nell is as dishevelled as I've ever seen her. Her thin hair, splintered and broken, falls about her shoulders like a ruin. She's sitting alone, holding Cassandra's cage on her lap. The bird squawks to Nell, who murmurs sweet words in return. On the table beside her is a vase of bright red roses.
Miss Hawkins, the nurse says, here's Miss Doyle to see you, and she's brought you a lovely corsage besides. Won't you say good evening?
Good evening, good evening,
Cassandra chirps.
I leave you to your visit then, the nurse says. You'll be needing to dress soon, Miss Hawkins.
Now, I say, when we are alone, you had a visitor today. Was it Miss Macleady? Nell flinches at the name, holding the cage so close that Cassandra hops about, flustered. She led us to the rocks, promised us the power, and then she betrayed us. It came up from the sea. Jack and Jill went up the hill. She was your teacher at St. Victoria's, wasn't she? What did she do to you? What happened? Nell reaches her tiny fingers through the bars of the cage, trying to touch Cassandra, who squawks and hops about, avoiding her grasp. Nell, I grab her hands.
Oh, Lady Hope,
she says in a fierce whisper, her eyes filling with tears.
She has found me. She has found me, and my mind is so troubled. I fear I cannot keep them out. They won't forgive me.
Who won't forgive you? I ask.
Them,
she nearly shouts.
The ones you talk to. They are not my friends, not my friends, not friends.
Shh, it's all right now. I murmur. I can hear distant violins tuning. The chamber orchestra has arrived. The dance is almost underway. Nell rocks tightly.
I must flee soon. Jack and Jill up the hill tonight. Tonight I shall tell you where to find the temple.
With a surprising agility and fierceness, Nell grabs hold of Cassandra's leg. The bird screeches in her grasp, but Nell's determined, her mouth set in a strange little smile.
Nell, Nell, let go of it, I say.
I tug at her fingers and she bites my hand hard. A thin, jagged crescent of blood seeps up through my glove.
Here now, what's all this ruckus?
A nurse marches over, all business. If she sees the bite, Nell will not be allowed to attend tonight's dance, and then I'll never know the location of the temple. The bird pecked me, I say. It frightened me.
Cassandra, you're a bad girl, you are.
The nurse clucks as she pries the cage from Nell's hands.
Bad girl, bad girl,
Cassandra squawks. Tonight, Nell says hoarsely,
you must listen, you must see, it's our last chance.
My hand hurts like the devil. Worse, in the corridor, Mr. Snow waits, leering. He shouldn't be here in the female ward, and I wonder how he's slipped in. There's no debating it. I shall have to cross in front of him to get to the dance. Screwing my courage to the sticking place, I square my shoulders and stride past as if I own Bethlehem Royal. Mr. Snow falls into step with me.
You're a right pretty one, you are.
I keep walking, refusing to respond. Mr. Snow jumps before me, walking backward. I look about for help, but everyone is in the ballroom. Will you let me pass, sir?
Give us a kiss, then. A kiss to remember you by.
Mr. Snow, remember yourself, please, I say. I try to sound firm, but my voice shakes.
I've a message for you from them,
he whispers. Them?
The girls in white.
His face is so close I can smell the sourness of his breath.
She's in league with the dark ones, with the one who comes. She will lead you astray. Do not trust her,
he whispers, giving that same sick leer. Are you trying to frighten me? I say. Mr. Snow puts his hands against the wall on either side of my head.
No, miss. We're trying to warn you.
Mr. Snow, that will do.
At last, one of the nurses appears, and Mr. Snow slinks off down the hall. But before he does, he calls to me, urgently.
Careful, miss. Such a pretty little head.
It isn't until I'm safely away from him that I remove my glove and examine the injury done to my hand. It isn't terrible, more like a deep scratch. But for the first time, I've got my doubts about Nell Hawkins. For the first time, I'm afraid of her.